to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
Okay, we are now moving into the public comment period, and this is about items on the agenda. If you feel like you might not be able to stay through the whole meeting and want to talk to something that's later on in the meeting, this would be the time to step up and do so. Do I hear anyone or see anyone? Okay, moving right along, we need an approval for the minutes of the meeting on March 27th. Do I have anyone?
Everybody look at Bob.
No, I have no changes, but I'm against it. Megan knows why.
Mm-hmm. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Yes. I approve.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Fabulous. Approval for the agenda. Do I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Do I have a second?
Approved.
Boom. Approved. All right. Now, we will receive a report from Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the current well level, the status of the Blue Diamond Water System, and other related concerns.
Good evening. Derek Jackson, Las Vegas Valley Water District, 1001 South Valley View. I've handed out some of the water level papers here for the JHN, for the North Well, down below. And I mean, most of you can probably see this from here. This is a trend of the last 5 years in May. And as you can see, water levels have been steadily increasing. Going up is good. It means that the level of the water inside the bore is getting higher. So at this point, we are at 14 feet below level surface, which is the highest it's been in the last 5 years in May. That's always good to see. Just want to note also that might be of interest is that at this point, year-to-date precipitation at the Red Rock Gauge was 240% of the 23-year average, so definitely a good year for rainfall. And if I seem to recall correctly, there was a bunch of snow here not too many months ago. We had a fun time trying to get up to our tanks. And for system information, there's just a couple of things to note. Guys came out and repaired a leak that was on Cottonwood in front of the fire station this week. That was called in by somebody here. I think Jeremy called it in. And so we're grateful for that. We got out here last week and repaired that. And another thing to note was that somebody decided to use our well site down there as a dump left a bunch of couches and mattresses and stuff like that. So we'll come out tomorrow or probably Monday with a loader and a dump truck and just pick the stuff up and throw it in it. But man, if you guys ever see anybody dumping down in there or anything like that, please let us know so we can track that, because that's a pain in the butt. So, I mean, and there's a good bit of stuff out there. I asked one of my guys if there was anything he could take home. He said no. So he stopped by and looked at it real quick in the desk.
I love it when they have letters in there.
Yeah.
Letters with their address on it.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah.
Is it a common thing for that people don't?
This is the first time that I've seen it here. So I hope that it doesn't start a trend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is the first time I've seen it here. So we'll come try to pick it up. If it's not tomorrow, it'll be Monday, but fortunately they were nice enough to dump it on the other side of the fence so you can't see it. That was very polite of them.
Yeah. Wasn't there a quite large leak on private drive too?
Let's see. That was probably last month, right? And I know that we didn't get a chance to report. I knew that there was probably something in there and I didn't get a chance to report on that. We were here, we were ready to go.
It's all taken care of and there's beautiful asphalt over top of it now. So.
Yeah, so we did get out. That one was a pretty decent sized leak, so we got out here ASAP to work on that one. Whereas this one that was on Cottonwood, we let it go for the weekend because it really was just a small little leak. Usually depending on the size of the leak, we'll get out here quick or we might push it out for a few days. But that's right, thank you for reminding me. Yes, there was a large leak on private. Any questions for me?
The 14.46, that's from ground level down.
Yeah, so if you were able to pull the well out and look inside the hole, that's where, and drop a tape measure down in there to the water surface, it would be 14 feet down.
So as it goes up, like where the well is, are there lower points where there may be water puddling and stuff like that? Yeah, you know, stuff that's 15 feet down and stuff like that, or no?
I'm not sure.
Around, okay, just out of curiosity. Okay, thank you.
I think this is not your question, but remember when we used to get those numbers from John Guillory? Mm-hmm. Is that, where are we at with that?
You know, John does not send the numbers unless I specifically request them, and sometimes he doesn't then. And I didn't request them this one.
Which numbers are these?
For the stream, the stuff that's going down the Arden pipeline.
Oh yeah, we would not know that.
No, that's
we
not
don't
yours.
Check that.
So maybe we can. Do you want me to take that over?
You can if you want to. Sure.
Do I'll, you want I'll, to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Send them over to you, or
sure.
I'll forward. I'll send an email to you and John.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
I keep asking him just to send them to us, and he never does.
Yeah.
Or he does for a month.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you very much. Now we'll receive a report from Metro regarding activity and statistics during the past month.
Hello, everybody. Sergeant Updating at Metro. Nothing significant to report, so that's good. I did actually pull some statistics. In Red Rock Canyon and the areas surrounding it would pretty much fall under the CAC. We did get 54 911 calls. Most of those have to do with Red Rock Canyon, lost hikers, stuff like that. 4 calls in Blue Diamond, 2 of which were 911 disconnects and ended up being up. One ended up with someone called in a drunk driver, just a disturbance. Other than that, nothing out of the ordinary, just your normal stuff. Things are good. Anyone have any questions for me?
Curious question. Hot air balloons. Can they land just about anywhere?
No, they cannot. I actually have a meeting tomorrow with BLM and FAA and a bunch of the balloon operators in town, so I think everyone's looking at trying to find a solution for them to go. Generally speaking, and I'm not BLM, my understanding is from Captain Soames at BLM, is that they can't do business on BLM property without proper permitting, which is my understanding, none of them have. So that is something that they're working on right now. So the answer is generally no, unless they're making an emergency landing, they can't just land wherever they want. They have to either be permitted or owned.
Okay. And then the other question, my neighbor on my street, she walks her dog and she goes over across 160 into the wash area over there. Do cars have to stop for a pedestrian walking across the highway? She was curious because somebody just kept coming because
a vehicle has to use due care to avoid a collision with a pedestrian. However, just because a vehicle has to use due care to avoid a collision with a pedestrian does not necessarily mean that the pedestrian is crossing the highway lawfully. So yes, if somebody's illegally crossing the road and you see them, you as a driver have a duty to stop and not hit them if you can.
Yeah, she was going across Colca, and the dog stopped, started to scratch himself. Meanwhile, the car kept coming and did one of those things in a hurry and went around there at like 65 miles.
There's a lot of gray area when it comes to pedestrian crossing and not marked intersections, and quite frankly, all of those laws were written back in the 70s and they haven't been revised since.
Okay.
So. Yes, in a nutshell, people do have a responsibility to stop for a pedestrian crossing the road, even if it is straight route 160, but the drivers are under the impression that pedestrians shouldn't be crossing there, so they drive like jerks. So, yeah. In a nutshell, it's a gray area, but generally speaking, yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'll relay that to her. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thanks.
All right, moving on. We receive an update on the Red Rock Bike Trail.
Sheila Billingsley, One Lawson Street. It is going forward. We have a little bit of a funding gap, but we've got a task force set up. Our first meeting is going to be June 4th to discuss that more. They do plan on coming up hopefully sometime in July for an on-site look-see and conversations with Summerlin talking about attachments and things like that. So project's moving forward.
Thank you very much, Sheila.
She's got a question.
Oh, yes. Where is that trail going to be?
Don't you need your name and address for the record?
Oh, Cindy Phillips, 3 Lawson.
Quiz. It's the first 6 miles is going to be from Summerlin, Sky Vista Drive. It's going to be paved off road, and it go to the visitor center.
Oh, nice.
Through
the wash there.
It'll actually be probably a bridge parallel to the road, and then where the big rock is, it'll dive off into BLM land there on the, that'd be the north side of the street.
Yeah.
Some of that. not the size of Gun Club.
Yeah. It's actually a multi-use trail too. Okay, so now any other questions about the bike trail? Okay. Moving along, we received a report from Megan regarding the grading issues in the Red Rock Overlay, the Blue Diamond Park, and any other updates.
So on the park, I have sent a request to Real Property Management to look at the park, well, RPM and parks, because it kind of goes together, to look at if there are any spaces that there is non-functional turf, which means it's not used for walking, recreating, anything like that. As I was looking at the agenda before I came here today, I thought it might be helpful for community members to chime in on that and let me know what, when you're out there using the park, what areas are not used. Because from the aerial, it kind of looks like maybe there's people that walk around the edge, which normally you would think the edge would be non-used. So maybe there's not as much non-usable as we think. So maybe next month, you guys, I'll put it on you residents here, maybe look as you come and go and see if you see areas that you see are non-functional or not used as
much. You're surfing it back to us.
No, I am relying on the expertise of our local residents. I mean, I'll come out here every day and look. I mean, you tell my boss that that's just fine for me to come out here every day and hang out in the park. But I think that might help guide their designs and it may turn out that you find every bit of it is used and it wouldn't be good to get rid of any of it. So maybe we could talk about it next month and you guys I can see what they've come up with and then see what you guys think.
You know, I guess I am not. There's a design. Is there a design review going on for our park right now?
No.
Isn't aware of?
No. This I had said in response to the concerns because it keeps cropping up to change it to Bermuda. There is no opportunity or there's no appetite to change it to Bermuda. But I said that as a concession, we would look and see if there's a possibility. If there is turf that's not being used, if we could do some xeriscaping. So that was just the compromise. If you guys don't want me to pursue that, I'll tell them to drop it and we won't go any further. But like I said, on the aerial, it looks like people use that whole area.
They do. There's a gentleman that walks it for his health reasons, because I think he had a heart attack or something. But anyway, he uses it. I live across the
don't
street.
Don't forget name and address for the record, please.
Using the edges, so.
All right,
Chrissy,
well,
you want to say
since I have some, oh yeah.
Address for the record, Chrissy. Chrissy?
Okay.
Chrissy,
your name and address.
Name and address.
Oh, Christy Breeden, 7 Castellan.
Okay. I don't have my back to everybody, so sorry. Okay. Since we do have a larger group than you live here, I'm going to take advantage and let you know what the discussion has been about the park, and then I'm going to put you all to work for next month. So there's been discussion over the years about the water use at the park, and a park uses a lot of water. That's just how it is. Grass uses a lot of water. There have been some people that have wanted the county to come in and tear out the grass that's there and replace it all with Bermuda, which goes dormant part of the year, is not pleasant to sit on or do things on. There has never been a consensus of that's where we should go, but Commissioner Brager and now Commissioner Jones are not in favor of replacing the grass, changing it. But since it keeps coming up, I had said kind of maybe as a compromise that we could look at non-usable turf space, maybe in the corner or whatever. So, like I was just saying to them, and I know I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry, but I just thought I should share with people that haven't been here. If you see spots that are just absolutely, like we're watering that and mowing it and maintaining it for no reason, we'll talk about those. But I'd also want to know the opposite. If it really is well used, all parts of it, then we'll just drop it and leave it as it is and continue maintaining it. So
I will watch it because I live across the street, but I think it's all used.
Yeah.
My observation when I come out here is that it is a very well used and loved park, and that there aren't spots. In some parts you'll see in town, there's spots where it's like, why is that even grass? Because nobody sits there, nobody picnics there, nobody walks there. But keep an eye on now. Now maybe you'll see it differently and maybe give that input to our designers.
No, I think we need it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Gail Billingsley, 20 Allegro. You mentioned the gentleman that walks it regularly. My next door neighbor also walks it regularly. And just today I saw a village member and her two doggies out there romping around. I'm not sure she was, but the dogs were. And I often see people out there with dogs.
No, it's well used.
Yeah.
Cindy Phillips, I look right into the park from the backyard, and it's always being used. The corners are being used with people that bring blankets, and they have picnics. You see dogs out there.
Yeah,
she
needs a good view, too.
Okay, well, that's great input. Yeah. Thank you.
Megan, I got to wonder, is there actually any money that would go towards, in case changes were made? Like, in other words, sprinklers have to be moved. There's labor, there's, you know, and there may not be any money to actually
do
anything.
Well, there's no budget for it. There's no budget for it. But if this were something the community can make, so absolutely get rid of some of this. We'd have to put that as a future request. But remember, there's only a finite amount of money. So if we were to fund that, it may take away from something else. So,
right.
But I promise that I would put it out there. So that's what I'm doing.
Thank you, Megan.
Okay, so next item is grading issues within the Red Rock overlay. So this has come up a couple times in the past few months. Within the Red Rock overlay, which if you live in this area, you live within the Red Rock overlay, for new development, one of the site development standards says, in areas where the land has not been significantly altered through mining and or where the natural landforms have been preserved, grading shall be kept to a minimum. However, grading may be performed on site in order to provide flood control protections for the site, and such grading may include the construction of channels and or berms as necessary to develop the site in conformance with Public Works flood control standards. So what the discussion has been, what is kept to a minimum? What is a minimum? We had a site come in that had been graded illegally, so let's keep in mind that it was graded illegally, so we didn't have a chance to review it. And so to find out what that was, I talked to the assistant director of the building department, the head of zoning plans check, and Nancy Anderson, who's the director of planning. And they all pretty much came back with the same answers, is that minimum is so subjective. And just because we can see that a site, that from our point of view, a site had more grading than others, that's so subjective. Nancy's point says, she goes, we are planners and not engineers, and they don't want to preclude someone from grading if they need to due to features on the land. And if you make it so restrictive that they can't use their land, then it becomes a takings issue, which would open us to lawsuit. So she says, we don't want them to totally change the landscape, but then we understand that some grading may be necessary to simply use the land, and even without the ability to increase density or intensity. And I got the same kind of input from plans check, the people who are looking at the plans. Nancy's kind of at the front end. Plans check is at the back end looking at the permits. And it's kind of the same thing. It's subjective. What may seem minimal to them may seem like a lot to you. It's also, what is your definition of grading? Because as me as a person, when someone says grading, I think of changing grade of land, going excavating, building up. But grading also is removing plants. So it's very subjective, and there's not a whole lot that can be done.
Well, I'd like to address that. When we wrote the Red Rock overlay, right, the concern is a very not subjective concern. It's someone perhaps that buys a 5-acre lot in Calico and completely scrapes the whole thing. I think we can all agree that that's excessive.
Well, I don't know, but what I'm saying is, if he didn't on that particular lot, which he did not get a permit, but he didn't change the elevation of the site.
Right. I don't think when the Red Rock overlay was written, that grading meant changing of elevation. It meant scraping of the natural vegetation.
So maybe you You feel strongly about this, so maybe you need to talk to Nancy and say, hey, can we readdress this?
Mm-hmm.
Because from some of the discussions I had, in Calico Basin, there's still a lot of lots that back up to rocks and things.
Mm-hmm.
And from the discussions I had, it sounded like they wanted people to not knock down rocks, not knock down hills. So that's different than just getting rid of vegetation. So I think if you want to pursue it, that might be something you want to do with planning and readdress that to make it stronger.
Yeah.
More specific.
Is it in the Red Rock overlay where the natural area, 25-foot natural area in the front of a property?
All the way around. There's an envelope, and I don't have that portion.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot that goes to design with...
But then again,
building envelope.
But then again, if there's a lawyer out there, the lawyer could say, "Well, we'll grade everything, and then we will put plants back in there, and it's natural again." So,
but the building envelope was supposed to not be graded either, right? So the building envelope is supposed to be in its natural state.
But building envelope would include a driveway, you know.
Well, it does say in there that a driveway can penetrate the building envelope.
Yeah. So right. It's the overlay. I think it's supposed to be a guide. It's not like a building code where you build, you know, have to use this kind of 2x4 and things. So it's much more subjective. So I would suggest pursuing it if you want to make it more
Okay.
So the next one, which is not on the agenda, was one that Bob had brought up, was about the in the overlay. Again, this is in density and intensity restrictions. This is the very beginning of the overlay. And it talks about that there are sections, let's see, 8 sections down along Blue Diamond Road or in the Blue Diamond Road area that, let me back up. Within the Red Rock overlay, you cannot increase density. You can't, if you bought a lot that allows 2 houses, you can't ask for 5. But there are some lots, these 8 sections down along Blue Diamond Road, that are exempted from that. They can increase the density. But that was changed a couple years ago in 2016, so that even within that exception area, if these exceptions shall not apply, the density and the density and intensity restrictions herein described shall not apply to properties that are privately owned as of March 21st, 2016 in those sections. So that takes these 8 sections and says in these sections you can ask for an increase, but only if it was privately owned. So if somebody went and bought a publicly owned parcel after March 21st of 2016, they cannot increase the density. So it's keeping people from buying disposal lands and increasing the density in that area. Does that answer your question? Right?
Was that the Ricardo thing with the H2?
No, also, this is your question.
That was mine.
Yeah.
Well, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, we haven't met since then.
Yeah, I know. That's true. We didn't have an official meeting last time.
Right. So you had asked for clarification.
Right.
And I had said if the land is acquired from BLM in one of those sections after that date, they would be subject to the restrictions. Or, in other words, land acquired from BLM after that date does not qualify for the exemption. And she says, your interpretation is correct. So you can't buy BLM and then ask for more density. Okay?
Perfect.
And just to follow up, just to follow up on that, those 8 sections, like for example, I'm in section 13, which runs from Wallapai to half of Coca Road. 14 then runs up 1 mile, 15, 16, and 21, 22, 23, and 24 are back going south. And most of those, 21, 22, 23, and 24, most of those are 640 acres of BLM land. There may be one or two homes in there on a couple of them, but most of that is all BLM land. So that's why I had heard a rumor from somebody. They said, and I used the word rumor, that some big builder was looking to build back there, and that's why I brought this up, and Commissioner Brager was nice enough to forward it. So good. Yes. Yeah, so.
Well, and some big builder could come in, but they're going to have to build like 2 acre lots.
That's fine.
Hey, if they want to do it, good for them. And that's all I had, unless there's any questions for me.
This is another note, too. It's not in the BLM disposal area, so.
Right. But this protects it in case it ever ends.
That's correct.
Yeah. So
really, some developer couldn't just come in at this point because it's not designated for disposal.
Right. But those things take a long time.
Yes, so. Just for clarification.
Did you touch base with Ricardo?
Not yet. Okay. I was on vacation.
Okay.
Yay,
vacation,
good for you.
And I did not look at my email the whole time. So if I didn't respond to the email, that's why. Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, mm-hmm. Megan. And now we'll be moving on to consider the Red Rock Citizens Advisory Council shall consider proposed changes to the transportation element of the Clark County Comprehensive Master Plan.
Okay, so I'll hand out these maps, but quite honestly, they don't tell you a whole lot, so come on and look at them. It's basically a map of the town. The transportation element is a part of the comprehensive plan. It dictates the size of roads, where roads are going to go, so that if you bought a lot in town and it were along Rainbow, you would know that Rainbow is supposed to be a certain width and that you would have to give up that much of your land as an easement for a road. In the rural areas, they kind of did that same thing and they just went in, not so much here, but in other towns, and said if it's a section line road, it's 120 feet. And if it's a quarter section, it's 80 feet or 100 feet, which doesn't make sense in rural areas. So they decided to go back and relook at all the maps and make them specific to the communities that they're in. So in your case, there were only two roads. It was Castalia and Arroyo. And they were originally set to be, and let me look at my little sheet here, I think 80-foot roads. They were designated as 80-foot collectors. Well, clearly, they're not going to go any further than they are. There's no reason for them to ever be 80 feet wide. They're not going to travel through here to somewhere else. So they have reduced those down to 60-foot roads, and then all the others are just local roads that they are what they are. And that's it. It's just changing those from 80 feet to 60 feet.
10 on each side? Or what alignment are they going to follow?
I don't know.
Yeah, you'd have to have a survey.
Does that mean we can get rid of the dots on a
listen, I have tried that at least 4 times and have not been successful.
Maybe the fifth time is the charm. Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Charm.
You know what? When we do our budget request again this year, we'll do it again.
I got a backup.
Don't say that when we're recording, okay? Haven't you learned? So basically, this means good things for you. It means that they don't anticipate major growth coming that's going to need an 8-foot road or a wide road. So
good.
Yours is easy. So the other one's a lot more confusing. But
can we trim those trees on Arroyo? You cannot stay in your lane without scratching your car against a mesquite.
Yes, you can email me or text me or write it down right now.
Okay.
And on the other hand, I worry that they're just going to come out and take the trees out so they don't have to ever trim them.
No, they don't do that. Remember when they accidentally cut down the tree over here?
Yeah.
We're going through that again. That was
that's
mistake.
Why she
no.
They couldn't because I think they're on private property.
There's another tree too on Cottonwood when you're rounding the corner there. You've got to go out into the opposite lane.
And remember, you don't have to wait till the meeting to tell me these things. You can email me, and then I probably could have had it trimmed already.
So I guess I just want to go one step further. I mean, I look at Highway 159 between us and 160, and the, I guess it's NDOT. They come out and just grub all of that vegetation out for a long ways away from the road. And so if it's the same people that's trimming our trees, we need to...
No, this is us. This is county.
Okay.
I've never seen them take out a tree unless it has fallen over and is blocking the road. Mm-hmm. We come out and trim them. We are not in the business of taking out trees. Yeah. Believe me, I get calls from Mount Charleston all the time telling me, I got a dead tree in my yard and you come take it out. And I have to argue with them why we don't remove trees. So no, we don't remove trees, but we will trim them if it's a safety hazard or a visibility hazard on the road.
Okay. All right.
All right.
I trust you.
We trust you.
Well, we do have a public works here person and he's saying I'm correct. So.
There we go.
Yes.
Steve Ingrid, Langley Grove Street. So if we went from an 80-foot easement to a 60, what's the easement here on Conwood? Are these 60s as well?
These are local streets, and so it says right-of-way varies.
Yeah,
because they are not, they do not have a specific designation as a collector arterial, minor collector. There's several of those. So and that's just like in most neighborhoods. There's no specific designation.
Those easements are the kinds of things that we learn with title searches, right?
Not necessarily because if you guys have lived here for a long time, you know Ann Road used to be one lane each direction. But when they developed along there, right. I just know Ann Road because I saw this happen, and I grew up here, so Ann Road used to be so far away. But it was one lane either direction. But the people that built along there knew that that was a wide road because we have the transportation element. So when things started to develop, that's when Ann Road got widened, and those people knew, and that would have showed up on a title search because when they developed, I'm sure they had to sign restrictive covenants that said, when it's time to widen, you will widen. So in that case, it would. If you developed, like over here by Cactus Joe's, some of those lots probably have not given up the right-of-way because they were built before we did that. That probably wouldn't show up because it's just an idea that someday there might be a road there, but right now there's not. So it depends how it was done or if it was mapped or... Mm. And sometimes they come in and when you develop, they'll ask for more or less than what was first determined.
So how can Steve get an answer to his question about what the, you know, what the easement is in front of his property?
It would have been on the original map. Right. So it's not a designation, but it would be a specific width, which is set forth in the map. But I can tell you that there's a paved section of the road, and then there's the unpaved section that is still public right-of-way. Yeah. It is not private property, it is public right-of-way. Which I know where this is going, and you absolutely can park on it.
All right.
I've been around these things, so yes, it is public right of way, and it is to be used by the public.
It would be nice if, like, a couple people along Cottonwood there would be notified that they may be getting, if it's 10 feet on each side, however it's going to be working out, that they may be getting a little extra space. And
well, none of it was on Cottonwood, it's only
Castalia. Excuse me, I got Cottonwood
well,
on the right.
They're built into the road easement, Castalia is, because a road is an 80 feet, right? So practically, they won't be changing how they utilize their property.
Here, probably not. There's probably not so much here, but in places like in front of my house in Sandy Valley, it was 100 foot right away, and now it's going down to 120. We probably could all ask for our 10 feet back along there because of the way it was mapped. But here, because the map is so old and the way the lots were developed, I don't think there's probably a lot of extra for them to get back.
Let me just finish on it. With Castalia, when I pulled it up on the county website, it looked like on the side where the county park is, it looked like the right-of-way goes right either through the batting cage or right up to it. So my point being is that parks should be aware of where exactly the right-of-way is, so they're not putting boulders or whatever, and there isn't any liability.
But I do have to tell you, you can't go by our aerials 100%.
Okay.
Because they are not perfect. And they can be off several feet.
Okay.
Especially in rural areas. In town, if there's more of a grid, so they can put them together, but they're taken from airplanes.
Bob in Blue Diamond, the roads were not done with accurate surveying way back when. So where our lot lines are and where the roads are do not line up.
Yeah.
And our houses are built in the right of way in some places.
So there's no liability.
Someone somewhere could try to sue somebody over it.
Yeah.
But in a community like this, same with Mount Charleston, it is kind of what you see is what you get.
Right.
And I doubt there would ever be any push for it because nobody's building out anywhere. You know, the roads aren't going anywhere else besides here.
It was Christie's. So she's going to gain 10 feet. Is her property
possibly?
Okay, possibly if she does. Is her acreage going to increase, and then her property taxes are going to increase?
Oh, thanks.
No, because this doesn't change any lot lines. This doesn't change lot lines. This changes the designation of that street. So it doesn't change what exists. It doesn't change what's there. It just says, for the future, we're never going to ask for 80 feet. We're only going to, or 100 or whatever it was, 80. We're not going to say that it's an 80 footer. We're going to say it's only a 60 footer. And these aren't built out anyway. So and it would be kind of like an inverse, giving it back. If they were to develop it out fully, it would only go out to 60 feet and there would be that 10 feet there. But you'd have to go through and ask for a vacation, get it surveyed and everything, and it probably wouldn't be worth it in the end.
Well, luckily I'm married to a surveyor.
Oh, well, you know what? That is very helpful. You're the one. I said, Kim, you keep telling me, there's a surveyor that lives over here.
A couple.
Okay, Angel. Yes.
Speaking of the 2 acres minimum, mm-hmm. What about all the lots that are 1.5 acres?
It depends when they were subdivided and how they came to be subdivided. Right. If they were done before the 1973 subdivision law, they're probably okay. But each one of those stands on its own. So you have to look at the way it was subdivided, and you'd have to research each lot on its own. It's really
not. There's a lot of 1.5 acres.
And there's a section of the code called nonconformities, and it takes care of that. So it says if your lot was divided legally, like in 1970, but it's a substandard size lot, you can still develop it because it's not your fault that it was subdivided too small. So that happens in like Mountain Springs where the highway went through, it divided some lots. So there's part of a lot on one side of the highway and part on the other. And so, it's crazy. And that made some of the lots too small by the code, but that's why we have the nonconformity section to take care of something like that.
I want to move that we recommend accepting the proposed changes.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Have it.
Thank you.
Can we get a follow up on that, Megan? Once it's done, to see exactly where the road.
But they won't survey. They're not going to. Well, like I said, this doesn't really change any lot lines. Anything. This changes. The potential future maybe. Of what it could be.
And then
so now the future maybe, it used to be 80 for the possibility, now it's only 60.
Yeah. They're saying no matter what, we'll only go 60.
Yeah.
And then they'll survey it if they ever go to 60.
Okay, now when we move on to comments by the general public. So a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board, which is not on the agenda. Anybody have anything they'd like to say at this time? Okay.
I have something I want to say. One, I want to say how much I enjoy having the restaurant. And I also want to say it is Jody's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Anyone else who has something for the...
Wes Dillon has a question.
Yes.
I may. I don't know about general public. This is Wes Dillon, 17 Cottonwood.
Mm-hmm.
On my way down the hill to Audrey's shindy this weekend, I was noticing that the concert part was pretty ugly.
This is the first time you noticed that?
I think that's a BDRA meeting.
Right, it's an earth tone, I understand that. But I was thinking of pastel blue or something like that. You guys possibly have a contest for what color to do the concert.
I think a cute mural.
It is getting about that time.
Yeah, it has been a long time. Well, that would be more of a BDRA thing.
First Tuesday. But I'm glad you brought it up.
I am too.
Well, they want to do a whole
revamp.
Show them your money. Okay. You can buy the color, Wes.
Right.
It's a lot of paint.
Put it up for bid.
Any other comments from the public?
Yeah. Yes. One. So there's these little airplanes that have been flying acrobatics out west of here on a regular basis, and I find them annoying as all heck, mm-hmm. and I wondered if anybody else agrees with that.
Yeah, we actually looked a little bit into it, and apparently that is designated airspace for the fake dogfight planes.
What is designated airspace? So are they in the conservation area?
Mm-hmm.
So who designates it, and how do we talk to them about that designation?
Because I know there's a little area over here by the...
gun club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, across from the gun club.
Those are for toy planes. These are real planes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is like real life planes.
These are man.
Yeah, what you emailed me about that.
They pretend they're doing dog fights.
And
I'm
told
like
they make their planes extra noisy just to be.
Who told you that it was designated? Rich.
Because Rich, my significant other, he looked into it because we also think it's obnoxious as heck.
Are they low?
Yeah.
I don't think, I think they're above their 500.
Yeah. Okay. Can you ask him where he got that information? Because I'll follow up on that.
Yeah, it's awful.
So it's also, I've been told, it's just hearsay, that they make the planes extra noisy to make them more authentic for an old time air fight. And so perhaps there's something that could be done about limiting, not allowing airplanes to be extra noisy.
Well, it seems to me it'd be easier just to get rid of them completely.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think we can dictate what noisy is, but I do have a contact at the FAA. But see if you can, Rich can find out where he got that information, and I'll follow up with my person at the FAA.
That's a good point. Yes,
Kathy Kleinsmith, 9 Montana.
Yes,
would it include the two military helicopters that were skimming the hilltop today?
That's not what we're talking about.
I thought they were going to clip the trees.
I thought they were going to land in the park.
Yeah. Wow.
They landed in the park?
No, I heard that.
Yeah, they
where was this, Patsy? Patsy, where was this? Where were the helicopters?
That's today.
Today.
Today, probably about
2 o'clock.
No, the time we saw them was probably about 3.
Yeah,
3:30. 3:30.
Came over my place too. Mm-hmm.
And they skimmed the top of the hill, the Blue Diamond Hill back here, Cross Hill.
Wow.
I mean, you could.
Oh, they were lower than Cross Hill. They were lower from where I was. They were there beneath the top of Cross Hill.
And they were obviously military helicopters.
Yeah,
they were.
So helicopters are regulated differently than airplanes. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot more leeway where they can go, unfortunately, but they do have to meet minimum surface, above surface area. The best thing I can tell you is if you can see them, they all have to have a tail number on them. And if you can get the tail number, unfortunately, once they're gone, they're gone. I mean, there's nothing we can do, but if you can get a tail number, those are registered, and you can find out that helicopter wherever it is in the United States, who owns it, they're all registered. So that's my best suggestion on those, is to get the tail number.
That was military.
Jody, Levallegro, Roman. They were completely black, because I looked for the tail numbers, and they were completely, special ops.
Oh.
You couldn't even see in the windows and everything. I was like, whoa, what is that?
Mm.
Well, then maybe something else was going on.
It looked like military. They were very little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were.
And they were not commercial
and
they were moving.
The Black Ops.
There you go. But we have two training shooting ranges down in Sandy Valley, so we see those all the time.
Yeah. That's what they were.
Well, hopefully they're good guys and they're keeping an eye on everything.
Mm-hmm. I got a question.
Yes.
The administrative review, which you had written something, Megan, a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. How does it work?
There is not a specific process for it, but how it usually works is the planning talks to the commission office to find out have there been complaints, have there been code enforcement cases, and gets the input from the commissioner, which happened in this instance. And
can you tell people what you're talking about?
So for Cottonwood Station, there was a 1-year administrative review, and that allows us to keep track of things that are going on, if there's complaints, if there's code enforcement action. In this case, there was one code enforcement action that was found to be no violation, and I was aware of that. And because I'm here every month and I've been there before, I listen to everything that's going on. There have been a handful of complaints that have been dealt with, and I worked with the owner on it. And so in this case, I sent all the information to Commissioner Jones and said, here, they're up for their review, here's what has happened. And he gave me direction to tell planning to remove any further time limits and make the use permanent.
Say that again.
And that's where we are. To remove the time limit, that's a planning term, is to remove the time limit and make the use permanent use.
Thank you, Megan. Is there anyone else in the public who has comments? All right. Seeing and hearing none, our next meeting will be June 26th, and I adjourn this meeting. Happy birthday to you, Joey.
Give me a list of where the trees are.
Oh, yeah.